Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey, David, I'm Grandpa.
Don't! Oh. I'm Mike Wallace, I'm Wally Schaefer, and I'm Ed Bradley. All this and Andy Rooney tonight on 60 Minutes.
So the Cropod, and joining me this week is David and only David. Hi, David.
Yep, just me today.
Fucker's in Italy again.
He's always in fucking Italy. Yeah.
Like Antonio Colak just leaving right when we need the fucking most.
That's exactly it.
Michael Beale drove Todd away too.
Exactly. Oh, don't get me fucking started. But this is my hour off a week from thinking about that stuff. So no. On a momentous day as well, because of course it's the 31st of October, Halloween, which is
it's our first Halloween without Matthew Perry.
That was a shame. And
it's never the tragically unfunny cunts. It's ones that are actually good. It couldn't have been Schwimmer, is what I'm saying. It couldn't have been him or Courtney Cox with the haircuts.
It had to be Matt, who I think most people thought was a pretty good dude. And I think I was talking to this with Adam, one of our podders, who you know, and Adam, who is basically, you know, modeled, as he says, my entire personality on Chandler, right? he's sarcastic and funny, and a lot of people our age did, because I went to uni 1995, and Friends was in its second series here, so it had exploded, you know, absolutely went nuts, just it was everywhere. And of course, if you were 17, 18 like I was, You watched it, and we went to uni. It was influential. People might think, well, how can a TV show be that influential? But boys and girls were hanging out together, and you didn't really do that, right? Because we all wanted to have that sort of... But because it was Scotland, we didn't hang out in a coffee shop, obviously. We hung out in pubs, right? And the difference, I suppose, between the TV shows, everybody just ended up shagging because, you know, university, you've got no money. There's nothing to do. What are you going to do? You're going to end up doing that. But,
the second series was the one where he was coked out of his fucking mind, too.
Yeah, you could see between...
Where he loses, series, like, 20 fucking pounds.
He went up. He said in his book he went from 9 stone... on Friends at his lightest to 16 at his heaviest, and he was up and down based on, as you say, kind of what he was doing. But I love the way he spoke about recovery. That's, you know, for me, obviously, it's a big thing. And he was really, really open and honest about it. And I saw a nice quote from him where he said, you know, when I die, people will talk about Friends, and that's cool because I'm glad I did something that people enjoyed. But I'd rather that they just said, you know, he helped a lot of people, because that's the thing that I'm proudest of. And yeah, it's just it's a fucker, and unfortunately, as you know, not to start on a down note, but this is the problem with sort of any addiction. And it, you know, I joke about being a bit of a shambling husk of a human, but a large part of that is due to the shit I put in my body. And I don't, you know, I don't feel bad about it. I've got nobody to blame. I'm not bitter about it. I had a good time a lot of the time, right up until I didn't. And then when I didn't, I had a very bad time. And then I stopped. But you don't get away with it. You know, you don't. You're always going to go out with stuff later on in life.
I mean, he obviously, you know, say drowned or what, but just a reminder for people, if you've had heart problems in the past, don't sit in a jacuzzi by yourself.
Yeah.
It's not a good mix.
No, it's the old thing though, isn't it? It's the old thing of, well, it wouldn't happen to me. You know, you just you don't assume. but you never assume it will happen to you. You always think that it's the kind of thing you hear about, but it doesn't really happen to you. But it's a real shame. Tell them about the thing. tell them about the thing you sent me though that actually did. Look, obviously there's dark humor kicks about, but this one was genuinely funny. Shane sent me a cartoon.
Which one did I send? The Henry one. You tell him about it. Oh my God. Death is at a... I mean, we call them claw machines over here. I don't know what you...
Death is at a big sort of claw. You know the thing that the arm comes down to try...
You put a pound in and you try to get the stuffed animal.
Yes. Yeah, the cuddly toy. But he's at, and instead of cuddly toys and animals, what's in it is every human being on the planet, because he's death, right? And it is literally death. And he says,
Chandler, is Kissinger even in this fucking thing?
And
I thought for sure. What was that? That was Friday. They were like, Henry Kissinger had to cancel an event at the Sam Houston University today because of he had a fall or illness. I was like, oh, thank God. It's finally over. He won't get to watch this war that I'm sure he somehow started.
Yeah.
Now he's here. He's still here. Henry Kissinger watch, still alive. Everyone that you've ever known or loved, dead. Henry Kissinger, still here.
Still with us. So, yeah, it's basically unfair, to say the least. But also, of course, it's Halloween.
Yeah.
And I try. I think I'm a decent human, deep down, very deep down.
Both of us give to charity.
We pay our taxes when we can.
I give time to things. You stay at home. I give money.
Yeah, you give time. I give money. Right. That's my guilt assuaging thing, because I don't give time. Right. But I try, and I look at Halloween and adults celebrating it, and I say to myself, David, there's been a lot going on in the world the last few years. We've had COVID, war, economies in the toilet. If it brings a little bit of happiness to people, then who are you to judge them, right? And I say that to myself. But then it's always the people who then also put their Christmas trees up in November, and there are greater crimes on this planet, Alex.
No, there aren't. Look, especially in this country, when the best holiday is at the end of this month, Thanksgiving is perfect. You know what you do? You sit around, you eat food, you drink, and you watch sports, and you remember John Kennedy got killed. Like slaughter, right around that's it.
Slaughter some nativist people. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Hey, look, we gamble at their casinos. There you go.
Sorry about that genocide, but can I have 200 on red, please? Yeah. I'm sure the Native Americans...
200 on red? Oh, yeah. Dave. They're risky. Risky.
Yeah. It's just... Yeah, no. But, you know, you do see, I must admit, you do see some pretty elaborate costumes this time of year, but I'm not a great fan of it. I prefer the kind of darker Halloween stuff, you know. I suppose this goes back to my period of dress up, which as a teenager is more acceptable. When I was a goth, I'm still more into, you know, the crow and, you know, basically slaughtering people on Halloween rather than just asking for chocolate. That's my Halloween. Joy Division and The Cure are my sort of soundtrack to this.
Well, it's nice for me now because baseball keeps getting longer and longer. There used to didn't be World Series games on Halloween. Now I can rely on it every fucking year. It's great.
I was playing on Christmas Eve. Fuck people with families, fuck staff who work at football clubs with families. Sky need a television game, so you're going to get one on Christmas Eve, even though you could play the day before and there are plenty of TV slots, and they actually just let human beings go about, have 2 days, right, for their family. But no. You can't do that. The funny thing is, right, they've moved a game down south, right? They've moved Chelsea versus Wolves.
Yeah.
And there is all manner of shit being kicked up about that by, you know, the media down there and by supporters associations. And I reckon they'll end up changing it. And up here, they'll turn around and tell us, nah, fuck off, you're just doing it.
Well,
you can play twice instead now. We've cancelled their game.
You know, the thing, we've actually got to talk about Rangers. This is crazy for this show. The manufactured outrage over the fact that, we played like 7 Boxing Day matches in a row at home or whatever the hell it was. And like Brendan, who let's not forget to thank Brendan Rodgers for being such an excellent failure in England that he got to come back and do this job again, because he's just soundbite after soundbite after soundbite. They were thinking, God, you know, they haven't gotten a penalty in a while. Nothing. Yeah, you know, they got this new manager who actually talks like a manager and has management ideas about football managing and doing stuff management style. And then, of course, you know, after that, they already wasted their shot on the Boxing Day thing because, you know, we got a penalty that was a penalty. And we should have gotten, because anyone in the fucking world would have seen it except for John Beaton live. And, you know, somebody's like, you know, I love VAR, by the way. I don't know.
This week.
I have updated my stance. I love VAR because it fucked Aberdeen over and we got our penalty.
Yeah, what's for me? The Aberdeen one.
It's fucking hilarious.
I mean, I was in Prague, right? And, just back from the... Oh, by the way, I fucking cracked it this time, listeners. So, arrived quite late on the Wednesday night and just jumped in a taxi. They took me up to the hotel. And you can't see anything because it's dark, you know? So I just went into the hotel. It was too late to go out. Obviously, I'm not really going to go drinking or anything. So I just went up to my room. Very nice. Got settled in. Fine. Next day, got up and I walked the other way. You know, you can turn left or right, obviously. It was a street, and I turned...
You have options, yes.
Yeah, I turned to the right, and I walked, and I went and had a wee walk around the neighbourhood, all good, right? So at night, I came out, and I was like, right, the stadium... and the girl had said to me, oh, the stadium's the other way, you know, where you went this morning. And I went, okay, so I come out of the hotel, and I swear to God, Shane, I walked 20 yards to the end of the block, turned, and the fucking stadium was there. was like, right, that is cool, right? 20 yards. So by the time, you know, we got a good point eventually and did the press conference. So I'm literally done, and I've done all my videos, I've done all my pods and everything, and I was in the hotel, you know, it all was done for before 10 o'clock, and I was back in the house. But of course, time difference. So people are saying to me, bloody hell, Aberdeen 2-0 up. I was, oh, fair dues, you know, that's a really good result for them. And I went for a bath. Came out the bath to just about 200 messages of laughing emojis. And I was like, how they can't have fucked that up from here. And somebody thankfully had said, go and read the BBC minute by minute, but don't look at the result. Here's the link to the start of these messages. They said, don't just click this link and read up. So I clicked the link and read up, and I am not going to lie to you, listeners, I pissed myself laughing.
I was fucking done.
Because
well, it was great. It came on over here, you know, because we played early.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they were on the next kickoff segment on like the Paramount app or whatever the hell. I was like, ah, fuck it, I'll watch this sheep. Fuck it. You know, they're 2-0 up. They're going away. And then, oh, here's one. Here's two. Oh my God, they're gonna fuck this. Look at this shit.
The funniest part of it was that it actually said on the BBC report, Cross comes in and that'll probably be it for the night. and that, you know, Aberdeen secure a point, but they'll be disappointed not to leave with all three. And then the very next message was, oh no. Oh no, oh no. That was what it was. Oh no, oh no, oh no. The ref is being told to go and look at the monitor for a potential penalty. And it ended with, there are no words to say. And I just, you know, fucking hilarious, man, to do that. And people that say that winning or losing like that doesn't affect your confidence, Aberdeen then go and meekly get beaten at Kilmarnock, like really straightforwardly. Because of course it stays with you. And we've got to hope that it's the opposite with us, because I was fizzing, and it's quite an odd sensation to be sitting angry for 90 minutes of a football match and leave happy, right? Because I was like, this is so fucking bad, typical.
I was fucking losing my goddamn mind.
Chance to go, just... they always fucking do this, they'll get a chance to go, 2 points clear.
Tab hits the post, like,
fuck! Chance after one off the line, missing chances, and you're just going, they always fucking do that. To the point when the penalty was given and we scored, I didn't really celebrate. You know, I was like, well, I'm glad he scored, obviously, but a point's no use to us.
No.
I celebrated a lot when the goal went in, though.
Yes.
When the second arrived.
I gotta say, their goalkeeper, you have to know. Have to know that if Tavernier misses on the rare occasion that he misses a penalty,
don't give away secrets.
The very next one is always straight down the middle. That is horrible scouting.
Keepers though just do not like to stand at penalties.
Which is what you should do. You should always, because that's your look. Fine. Because yes, everyone smiles, you look like Neil Alexander and you guess right.
Well,
you just stand in the middle and sometimes they hit one right at you.
Statistically, you're probably better off just standing in the middle.
Yeah, not moving.
But the shit you'll get from your support, if somebody then just rolls a wee tap in into the corner and you haven't moved. So I can understand why they're reticent to do it. But when Danilo's header went in, it was just one of those. And I love that only football can do this, right? We score and he came out with 9 minutes, which was deserved because there'd been a few VAR checks, there'd been the long injury to Raskin, Hearts had time wasted. 9 was fair. But of course, that energised the crowd. You know, if he'd come out with 3, it wouldn't have been the same. So everybody was right up and the crowd were going properly nuts. And it's so funny because you're like 9 and I'm going, oh, fuck, right, come on, lads, come on. We scored after 3. And then you go completely the opposite way and you go, I can't fucking believe he came out with 9. Where did he get 9 from? You know,
I'll tell you what, Stephen Naismith's face reminds me that it's the time of year that we really try to help out some charities around here. So go to the Beats and Cancer Charities page and give them some money. Please.
Yeah, do a good thing coming out of that. But it was just, you know, the hypocrisy of 9 minutes. Fuck, 9 minutes within, you know, within one thing. But yeah, it was a real good win, and we had to do it. But it had made for like a nice weekend, and then NFL was on, the Vikings won, the Bengals won for Martin, so he was happy.
Yeah, fuck off, Martin.
Well, that's the Vikings and the. They'll beat the Niners the last 2 weeks. Now you can lose to the Bengals.
Since we like ramrodded the Cowboys into the darkest depth of hell, we have played like absolute fucking shit.
You can lose to the Bengals are good, right? They've got a great defense, and they obviously
we've lost 3 in a row.
You can aye, but you can lose to the Bengals. You can't lose to the fucking Vikings, right? You know,
yes, you can, David.
Well, yeah, you shouldn't lose to the Vikings, right? But the Vikings won again. But in true Vikings style, and Rangers fans who don't follow NFL, you'll understand this. The Vikings, who are my team, who are not very good, right? And they're kind of like, you know, remember the way that Man City were before the money? Well, they were like fucking typical City. That's what the Vikings are like. But they beat the Niners, which is a great result. And then they won again at weekend. You're thinking, hey, and just to top it off, the fucking quarterback gets a season ender, and that's that fucked. So any sort of momentum just completely gone. What do you guys have though for equipment? Because look, over here, when somebody gets injured, they'll say to the manager afterwards, you know, what happened? And he's like, well, we don't know yet. He'll need to go to the hospital. He'll get a scan. It doesn't look good or whatever, right? Which is fair enough. We're all conditioned to that. In America, they send him into that tent. And within seconds, the reporter goes, he's done his Achilles. It'll be 9 months out. They'll start the recovery treatment now. And they're always right. That's the thing. Yeah. They are always correct.
One of the biggest thing is, okay, every sport except for hockey famously. So there's things in the collective bargaining agreement with the players union that, you know, that in terms of how injuries can be discussed and whatever. In the NFL, obviously, because it's so driven by gambling, which I feel like I'm talking about on every fucking show lately, they have to disclose the nature of injuries as soon as they know it. You know, like the injury reports have to be updated daily coming out of the fucking training facility. If you don't practice on Friday, you can't play on Sunday. You know, like, it's just this stuff has to, because again, the game is driven by gambling. I mean, that's, you know, let's be honest, look, it's fun to watch, but the real reason that most people watch it is they got, you know, some kind of prop bet on it, shit like that. Hockey, in the last collective bargaining agreement, and you can see this immediately, They change some verbiage or some terminology, whatever, in there and how they have to disclose injuries. So everything now is either a upper body injury or a lower body injury.
God, they keep That's it.
Like, there's no detail. They don't have to. They can give you a Jordan Rossiter timeline. Nothing, like no actual details given whatsoever. Like everybody's Kmart roof in the NHL. Like, right. Is he fit? Probably not. Do we know why? Absolutely not. Don't ask. the whole fucking time.
The hockey over here, a guy died at the weekend in the UK. What? Yeah, a hockey player.
A heart attack or?
No. Basically, I have to be careful what I'm saying here because there's criminal investigation going on. An accident. They said that the guy that he's a forward apparently, and he was skating with a puck, and somebody came across to sort of challenge him and lifts his leg up. Now he's saying that there was a collision or whatever that caused his leg to shoot up. It looked like a Sweet Chin Music, right? And it slit the guy's throat. And he expired on the field. Don't look for the footage.
No, I was about to go look for the video.
Don't. No, it looks I'm not exaggerating. It looks like something at the Saw movies. It's really bad. And the thing is, they don't have to wear neck guards.
No,
but they're making that compulsory from.
How about just don't use your skate as a.
Look, I don't know enough about it. I asked Dave.
I played, so.
Yeah, you would know better than me. Dave Marshall, who's a big hockey fan.
Oh, it's Adam Johnson. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Dave Marshall, who follows hockey and he worked for Glasgow Clan for a while. He said, haven't seen it.
I'm not watching that.
I would give the guy the benefit of the doubt because I have seen people's legs shoot up at strange angles.
Famously Clint Malarchuk was the goalie for the Buffalo Sabres. When the hell was that, like 89? They were playing the Blues, and the guy, you know, there was a rush toward the goal mouth, and you know, bodies get strewn around and whatever, and this is before goalies wore prominent neck guards. Took the slash across the throat. Clint Malarchuk lived because there happened to be a guy standing directly behind the goal who was a fucking like military EMT who'd been in Vietnam he ran out there right away and reached into his wide open neck and grabbed the goddamn artery and pinched it off until they could get him into a hospital. So, I mean, Clint Malarchuk lived because of that, but,
apparently within the sport, and you'll know this, because you played it. Yeah. There's the whole sort of macho culture, so they don't wear neck guards because, you know, who needs that? And it was similar, actually, in cricket in the 80s because the West Indies, for those of you who've done interest in cricket, will know that they had this all-pace attack, and these guys were fucking ferocious, right? I mean, they were delivering the ball at the time. Even now, it's still quick, but at the time, it was nobody had bowled this speed. And players didn't wear helmets, and they were getting, you know, broken jaws, you know, hit on the temple and stuff. And it again, it took fatalities because of this sort of macho bullshit that, oh no, you know, we don't do safety. Yeah, just do safety. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, this thing with Mlarchuk too, like he was again almost dying in the eyes. He was back playing 10 days later,
holy
right?
Fuck,
had his neck sliced open. It's one of these. If you haven't seen the video, don't go watch it.
Don't watch
like,
it. Yeah.
It's very, very, very gruesome and bad.
Yeah, cannot recommend it.
He never like dealt with this shit, you know, mentally. The fact that his mom specifically had come to that game to watch him, and you know, here's his neck ripped open by a blade on an ice skate, and what it ended up being, I don't know, it was like 20 years later or something. He was out hunting with some friends of his and had a rifle in his hand. He was like, what would you do if I shot myself in the head? You know, because he's never processed or dealt with the bullshit of having his neck sliced open in front of his mom and bleeding violently. He shot himself in the head right in front of his friends and lived through that too.
Jesus Christ.
And he finally, you know, got help after that. He was like, fuck it. You know, I've been there twice, still alive. Might as well actually kind of treat this thing that's going on inside of my head.
Yeah, I think so. You God has marked you out, but just don't, you know, three times is the charm, as they say. So yeah, just don't. Yeah. But a horrible thing. I'll cheer us up a little bit then, right? We've had a lot of fun, you and I, both on here and on other shows, about the great American pastime of having a pop shot at the president, right? And I think that there are times where I've went, oh, you Americans about it. But I think we need to go back into the annals of time and speak about some of the British equivalents. Now, it's not, this is not technically a British equivalent.
You're still reading the David Mitchell book, is what you're telling me.
Basically, I've finished it now. But I've you know what I'm like, though? Once I read one book about something, that's it. So I'm like five books in now to this stuff, right? My favourite one, though, is... Technically, he's not British because he was Norman, right? And technically, I suppose, they were French. But for about 300 years, we were ruled by the French, right? Even though nobody likes to admit it.
We're ruled by Germans right now. Nobody likes to admit that either. So.
No, we're ruled by Russians and Chinese, mate. That's who we're ruled by these days. And they're quite fucking open about it in London. You try getting anything done if you're not Russian, Chinese, or Saudi Arabian, and you'll see who rules what now. But one of the kings, right? William the Conqueror's son. He went hunting in the New Forest, which is still called New Forest. At the time, it was a New Forest. He bulldozed the land.
Now it's a very old forest.
Now it's a millennium old forest, but we still call it New Forest. But they were all mad on hunting. They were a bit like American footballers that way, you know, that was their hobbies. And they were out, and he was killed in a hunting accident. An accident. However, his younger brother, who was there, who was not next in line to the throne, immediately rode to the Exchequer and got himself crowned. Immediately. Like, none of this will wait a year to reorganise a good ceremony shit, right? That day, he went and got himself crowned. An accident, my arse. Right.
It's kind of like Dick Cheney shooting his friend in the face.
Yes.
Happened to not open up his checkbook for George W. Bush's re-election campaign. It just happened to be in front of my shotgun.
How do you... Now, remember, the king is an absolute ruler. How do you accidentally shoot the king? Right? Of all the people that you're there...
Well,
you
especially back then, too. Like, you have guns that take 8 minutes to reload. You're not... firing rounds off.
It was a crossbow. I mean, it wasn't even, there was no gunpowder at this point in the UK. So, how the fuck? Now, I don't think that the king at any point was wandering alone, right? I just don't believe that. In those days, the king tended not to live low profile, head off into the forest on his own. There would be literally hundreds of attendants, right? For everything he did, the royal toilet paper holder, you know? But he was accidentally killed, and then his brother, who wasn't next in the line, and back then, see if you got yourself crowned, that was pretty much it, right? That was... Getting crowned was the... It was almost as if we thought in Britain, oh, he's made the effort. We need to let him be king now. Whether or not you were the next person in line to throw That was it. If you got yourself crowned...
Good run, man. All right, that was fair it. Enough.
And I just love this so much. And I love the way that, because we're British, when we look at this, there's none of this Kennedy-style assassin, you know, or let's look at the... Everybody just goes... Yeah, might have been an accident. No point crying over spilt milk, is there?
Look, it's over. All right.
Yeah, let's just rub along together nicely.
Let's go get a cuppa. Don't worry about this shit.
and Britain just basically went, not much we can do. It's all God's plan anyway, isn't it? So... Which is, the best reason for anything. You could just say, and I am loving reading about some of our older kings who, for instance, if they usurped the throne, now that was considered quite bad. See, if you took an actual king and removed them from kinging, from the kingness.
From doing the kingness, yes.
Right, even if you had the reason that they were useless, but the whole point, because kings start, we always think it starts quite mystically, right? It didn't. It started with basically... warlords, right? Who took control in very violent times because they were the most violent. And what they would do is they would promise to protect people. It was like the Sopranos. They would protect you if you showed them fealty. So that's how. But they knew that wasn't enough. So they had to come up with, right? Well, so they come up with this I'm anointed by God, right? But if you usurped a king, you were fundamentally saying, well, hang on here, you know, look, you can't have been, these kings aren't that special then, clearly. They're not anointed by God if they can be removed. And you don't want the punt of thinking that way, do you? So you then have to say, and this is why it's such religion, it's such a wonderful excuse for anything. You then say, aha, but if I wasn't supposed to be king, I wouldn't be king.
God wouldn't have me be king right now.
So clearly, God did want me to be king, but you're not, none of you should usurp me, right?
This is the Bisgrove Clay Davis rainmaker thing. Yeah, when it doesn't rain, it's not supposed to rain. When it does, I did it.
God doesn't want you to usurp me, right? That would be offside. Okay, just don't even have any thoughts in that fucking manner.
No, no.
Set
that one down. All right. Look, the usurping is over with. I did it. Okay. We don't need to look at that again. No. That's not an option.
And I did want to talk to you actually, just because I'm reading these history books and I, but you know some stuff, even if you haven't studied or read into the area, the stuff was sort of vaguely taught in school, right? And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about historical myths. Right, and we all have them. I was extremely disappointed to learn that some of the stuff I knew about these early monarchs, who I hadn't really paid much attention to, isn't true. For example, Edward II was not killed by having a hot poker shoved up his arse. Now, that's the one thing everybody in the UK knows about him, is that he died of having a red hot poker shoved up his arse. And I just got me thinking about how do these things become, like, for instance, Marie Antoinette never said let them eat cake. George Washington, what do we know about George Washington? He cut down the cherry tree and he couldn't tell lies. No, he didn't. And he could tell lies. He was a fucking
general. And also, his teeth weren't wood. They came out of the mouths of black people.
Right, exactly. But isn't that amazing how selective we are? Yeah. Where we go, well, I want to believe that, so I'm going to. Right. So you did die with a poker up your ass, okay? He's up. He's up. And
look,
gone,
look, if you're telling me you didn't die with a poker up your ass, that means you died with a poker up your ass. Like, come on,
he's
man.
He's like, actually, it was really horrible. It happened to me. They starved me to death in a room over a period of months. It was just, poker up the ass.
they ran a stick up there, buddy.
Hey, went right up, poker right up your jack. See, that's what they did. And, you know, the George Washington thing is great, but as I say, I mean, I think that the George Washington thing was literally the first thing I heard about him, in that I think a primary school teacher literally said to me and my classmates, we're going to do the US presidents. Here is their first president, George Washington. And they showed us a picture of George Washington. And then the first thing they tell us after his name is, he famously couldn't tell a lie. A lie. And they tell the cherry tree story, right? And
it's that's one of the best Norm MacDonald bits. Like, I cannot tell a lie. Like, that's a serial. Your child is a serial killer. Bullshit. Don't kill that kid.
It reminds me of in the 90s, it was a song. It was a huge hit. I think it was in America too. Would I Lie to You by Charles and Eddie. Right, I don't know if you remember this. So it was a huge hit over here, number one. And they timed it.
Didn't get here. We just had Delamitri, not that. So.
No, they were American. It was a kind of...
The only one I lie to you involves Bob Mortimer. That's the only one that I care about.
Well, no, this they timed it brilliantly, because what they did was they released it around about Valentine's Day, right? So, of course, guys bought it for the partners and said... And I just thought, this is the biggest hiding in plain sight con I have ever seen. Because if a guy hands you a record saying, would I lie to you, baby? He's saying, I lie to you an awful lot. That's exactly what...
Hold on. I want to test something on you, because this came up at the pub last night. You know, we were watching the World Series game and the football. Because, you know, you got two sports on at the same time. There's only one TV in the living room. You want to be able to watch both. You go to the pub, right? So we're sitting there, we're watching the football, we're watching the baseball, and this guy next to me ran, you know, he's a regular down there, nice guy, but for some reason starts talking about train, and not like trains, like I hop on the choo-choo train,
right?
Train the band, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Setting the rest of the conversation aside. If I asked you to name one band similar to Train, who would it be?
Well, Delamitri was a good shout.
Delamitri's not bad. I said the Goo Goo Dolls, and he said they are nothing at all. I was like, how can you have this strong held beliefs about mid-90s shitty pop bands that are doing like bad Cheap Trick covers? Because that's all this shit is.
Do you know why I hate the Goo Goo Dolls?
I know why I do, but you go ahead.
Right. The Goo Goo Dolls early stuff, right? The really early stuff is actually all right. It's not bad.
Yeah, well, because they were more like the Gin Blossoms, which is okay.
Yes, right. FM band.
Again, that's good Cheap Trick covers. Then they had that late stage Cheap Trick covers.
Then they had that one. The big one.
I won't call your name.
That's it, right? And I don't want to be there anymore. Fuck off, right? That one. So bad it was covered by Ronan Keating of Boyzone, right? And a good way, incidentally, to annoy a Goo Goo Dolls fan is to say to them, if they're going to see them or whatever, to say, oh, how do they play that Ronan Keating song they do? They really fucking hate that. But I had a documentary, right, about the Replacements, who are one of my very favourite bands, right?
Very good band, yes.
And, the guy for the Goo Goo Dolls was on, and he was talking about one of their albums, Don't Tell a Soul, 1987. Yeah. Now, this was when they signed a major label, and it's actually the first one that was produced by a grown-up. And there are some really lovely actual songs on it rather than the punk stuff. And the guy said, yeah, man, it's such a wet record. I got it, and I threw it away. And I'm like, you're in the fucking Goo Goo Dolls, right? What, you wet record? Your songs are so fucking wet, mate, that they are used as an Olympic swimming
pool.
No,
I'm going to towel off when they come on the fucking radio.
Exactly right. The Goo Goo Dolls music, their hit stuff, is the equivalent of, you know, that lettuce that you buy that's already pre-washed and comes in a little bag? That's what it is. It's a bag of pre-washed lettuce. Right?
Oh, God.
And that's, oh, man. That's what it is. And here's this fucker on criticizing the fucking
replacements
for not being rock and roll enough. And I'm like, I mean, oh, just God. Where do you get off on that, you dick? Have you heard? This is like the equivalent of Snow Patrol saying, Iron Maiden. I find Iron Maiden a bit wishy-washy. You know, it's just you're not allowed to do this.
Yeah, a little soft on the back end. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. There's just certain things you're not allowed to do if you make certain. And by all means, look, they're huge. They've made fucking billions of this shit.
Yeah. Cool.
But just admit to it. Don't turn around and go that you're the fucking...
The Gym Blossoms, right? The first time I saw them, when I was living in Knoxville, we used to have this, like during the summer, we had this, it was like a Thursday night open free concert thing. It was called Sundown in the City. You know, because we had like a nice market square thing.
That's a cool name, by the way.
Oh, it's a great name for it. Yeah, fucking brilliant. And we had this nice... Jesus, big open like market square, you know, bars and restaurants down both sides, and there was a stage at one end, and you could fit like 8,000 people in this thing, except for the time George Thorogood played, and there were like 20,000 people because every redneck from fucking nine counties over came to see George Thorogood. But the Gym Blossoms are playing, and there's a street right behind the stage area. You know, it's a nice brick stage, very, very gorgeous setup. Like, I've played on it a few times. But you could park right behind it. There was a one-way street behind it, you know, low traffic street, but still there. And they had parked their tour bus directly behind the stage, which most of the acts did. But the singer started, he's like, yeah, I want to thank everybody for coming out here. He's like, I want to thank my guitarist who isn't here. You guys know who I'm talking about. But he's like, I get to do this for a living, and I get to ride around in that cool-ass bus, right? Like, you see that thing? It's got two bathrooms in it. It's just like, all right. You know, I wasn't totally sold on this idea. Like, yes, I want to see the, you know, Empire Records and blah, blah, blah. I want to go see the Gym Blossoms. I've gone to see them multiple times since because of that. Because he's like, dude, I've got 12 songs. I didn't even write them. The guy who did is dead. Thank you, by the way. But I get to do this shit for a living 30 years later.
Yeah, I fucking love that. I think that's absolutely fantastic. And you're right. That's the kind of healthy attitude to have. Because, you know, it is something really, really
it's
cool
when people look like they're having fun. It's like Danilo, scoring the goal. And you're like, oh, look at him. Yeah, you know, it was like every time Sakala scored, he's happy. He likes doing this. It's not work for him. He's actually enjoying himself.
It's why Ali McCoist is the most popular.
He's the best fucking. Yeah,
he's like Ali's not the most insightful, right? I think he'll admit that himself.
And he wasn't a good football manager.
He wasn't a good. he doesn't break it down tactically, right? Or go into detail for you, but. Ali McCoy's being on a football match makes the match more fun to watch.
Yes. Because just in the exact same way as he was on the park, just put him in the mixer. There you go.
He is basically saying, can you play? I'm getting paid to watch this game of football. Isn't football great?
Isn't this fucking great?
Let's watch this together, you guys as well. And he may, you know, Stephen Fry. Why is Stephen Fry so popular in Britain? It's because he's a very knowledgeable guy, but he doesn't use it against you. What he does is he says, here's some cool stuff I know. I'd like to share it with you because I think you'll find it interesting as well. And it absolutely is. It's that enthusiasm, so that wanting to do
2010 World Cup. Of course, you know, Adu playing on the men's team at that time and whatever.
Drew with England?
McCoy's 2010.
Yeah, you drew with England.
The South Africa World Cup.
Yeah, you drew with England. You did.
Well, yes. And we beat... the Maji Bujera's Algeria team.
That's right.
Ali McCoist was on comms for ESPN over here. And like they paired him with Derek Ray because of course they would. And this is before, I still like Derek. He's gotten a little bit more intolerable these days, but you know, things happen with age. We can't all be Clive Tilsley, you know?
No.
But it was him and Derek Ray doing all the US games. And you could hear, like you're saying with Ali, he's like, oh, by the way, that's Mo Adrian. He plays for Rangers. Did you know he plays for Rangers? Look at him right there. Oh, there's Marcus Beasley. He used to play for Rangers, by the way. Look at that guy. He's like, that was the whole fucking World Cup over here. It was just him. Like, look at these guys. They play for Rangers. Aren't they great? Like, hey, you know what I used to do? I used to play for Rangers, by the way. But those guys still do it. Look at them. Yeah, look at them out there.
Just like, I great story about how REM started, right? And people might think that REM released a record, were huge, and, you know, that would like... You know,
they never play instruments before they cut the fucking record.
The first 3 years of REM, they were in a van, not a tour bus, a fucking van, and they would just basically drive to every shitty place in America, right?
Well, they started in Macon, Georgia, so, I mean, you can find plenty of shitty places.
They had a guy who sat on a phone, and he would phone any... I mean, they played, like, chicken restaurants and right? Yeah. And they would
kids'
play
birthday parties at Chuck E. Cheese. Anything, like, right. You go on after the rat.
And there would be... they said themselves, we would swing... Like, the first time we would go in, and they'd be, like, six people... And the interviewer said, oh, didn't you get disheartened? They went, no, fuck, six people had taken time out of their life to come and see us. So what we did was we would go, we're going to put on a fucking great show for those six people. And then we'll swing back here in 3 weeks and there'll be 12 people here because they'll have all brought somebody. And that's exactly what, and over the course of 3 years, they went from playing, as he says, kids' birthday parties to suddenly they were playing 100 rooms, like rooms that held 100. Then the year later it was 200. Then the year later it was 1,000. And that's how REM got very, that's why their first record comes out in 1982 and their first hit record comes out in 1991. Right? They released a record every fucking year up to that point, right? It wasn't for lack of trying, but it was just literally just keep going, but play to the people who are here, not worry about the ones who are not.
You know, to close out the first half of the show, and this is for the young kids out there, not for the people like me and David that are jaded and middle-aged and don't give a fuck anymore, but for the young kids, whatever your job is, even if you think you deserve something better, do your job like it's the most important fucking job in the world, because that's your station in life. If you're serving someone fucking coffee, that's where you're at. So don't ruin their day. Just serve them the fucking coffee.
And be good at it.
Put a smile on your face. Be Ally McCoist every day. Be Ally McCoist.
That's a great...
Should he be the king? Should he be the king? Yes. But he's not. He's not.
But he might be if we can get... But he might be if we can get him crowned. That's the lesson I've learned.
All right. Let's find the crossbow. And Carlos Pena. Crown. Let's bring Carlos Pena back and give him a crossbow. We'll have Ally McCoy's fucking...
All you need to do, apparently, right, is get yourself to the place where they keep the crown and stick it on and say, by the way, I'm the king. We should do this with presidential races. That should be it. You should drop Biden.
American gladiators, basically.
But like, link with Survivor. You should drop them right at the first state, right in Maine, right on the Canadian border, and say, right, you guys have to get to the Mexican border, and whoever gets there first, right, gets to be president. At the Mexican border, we have left.
Dean Phillips is on the Beltway. I don't think that's going to work out for him. Let's go check on Joe Biden.
Yeah, we've left a hat, right? Because that's what a crown is. It's a sparkly hat, right? We've left a sparkly hat on the Mexican border, and the first one of you to put it on wins.
That's it. That's it. I'm writing a strongly worded letter to my congressman I'm friends with. I'm like, Eric, listen, I got fuck that election shit. I got a new idea.
Much cheaper, much more. You can televise it. You can sell ad breaks. Make a bit of money on it rather than spending $400 billion on the campaign. You can actually make some cash. Admittedly, with these two, probably would take a while. So
we need to start now.
Start now. Not now.
Fuck. All right. Let's grab the break. We're getting a break here quick. We're coming right back.
We'll be right back. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back to the second half of the Crow Pod, sans Canadian, no Canuckian version. And of course, as, oh my God, I just looked outside and it's fucking snowing. It's like snowing. It's like really snowing. Fuck me. God damn. Anyway, oh, hey, David, it's snowing. You know what you need when it snows? Is a good
scarf. Is it really snowing or was that just a
fantastic No, it's actually snowing. I literally, you know, I'm sitting here usually just staring at the computer screen while we're talking. And I just looked out the window toward the street and it's fucking snowing. Like, damn. For real. Well,
I'm going to see Rangers play Dundee, right? And I'm not impressed. I'm going as a supporter, which I like to do from time to time, just to, you know, because I am. I am. I will need a scarf.
Yes. Yeah. If you only can get a good scarf on pre-order right now, it is right down in the show notes right here. You click on the link that says Crow Scarf by our friends, the famous, our good buddy Graham over there, has designed us an awesome scarf. David has ordered. Todd has ordered. My friend Blair has ordered. Callum has ordered. Chris has ordered. A bunch of people have ordered already. So get in, pre-order your scarf now. I might run the pre-orders just one more week just to give Graham like a full shot because people are taking, you know, and like he's doing it as a favor. Obviously, you know, still making this money, but I want to take care of Graham in the same way. So at least for now, pre-order now through the 5th. I might push it out to the 12th just to get everybody in on the same, because it's going to take 10 days to make them anyway, so I might as well make it easy on Graham. But click on the link or the scarf. And also, it is Halloween, which means it's the last day of the month. So if you're listening to this today, if you're listening to this on Heart and Hand, you're already fucked. It doesn't matter. But if you're listening to it today on Tuesday, on the 31st, you can still get in, support the show, go support thecopelandroad.org, and we are giving away stuff, not only from the famous, but a very nice canvas from our friends at Blue Room Art. Very nice shot of Irox at night that will look good over your bed that you can piss off the wife with. Like, check that out. No, I took the pictures of the kids down, honey. That's it. We got this one now. So, go to famousheadwear.co.uk, blueroomart.co.uk, and of course, our good friend Mark at Recovery and Repair Massage Therapy in East Kilbride. And I forgot to come up with a pun again. You got a massage pun?
Hold on, give me a sec. This is the time of year when it comes to tax. You and I will be massaging some figures, and if you want your figure massaged, then
go to Recover and Repair in East Kilbride. Go see our friend Mark. There we go.
Actually, I cannot believe it's
fucking snowing. This is
I fucking can. You get
this is ruined. It's Halloween. Look, me and my buddy, we were talking. He's like, it's not gonna snow on Halloween again. I was like, I guarantee it will. Sure as shit. Oh God. You know what though? It will keep me from going to the pub tonight. Because I hate going on Halloween. Well, I don't get dressed up. I don't like any holiday except for Thanksgiving. because again, Thanksgiving is perfect. We already covered this in the first half of the show. All you do is eat and drink. That's it. You sit home, you watch sport, you eat food, and you get drunk. Perfect holiday. Halloween sucks. it's a terrible holiday. If you're over the age of 14, you should not be partaking in it whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't do Halloween. I never, and I think it is that self-conscious thing. You know, that even when I was younger, you know, and then in my 20s, people say, oh, we're going to have a Halloween party. And I'm like, no, I'm not coming. Like, oh, you dress up as, I'm like, I'm not fucking dressing up as, I'm a growing adult. And I'm not doing that. Although I always say that. And then if I ever buy that Stormtrooper suit, but that won't be,
you'll be wearing that
up
the fucking press gantry and I'm back.
Yeah, well, I'll be like, yeah.
Like, David, you'll walk in, Rab will be like, yeah, David. Okay.
David, what are you wearing? What's it look like? I'm wearing this fucking Stormtrooper suit, isn't it? Mate, fucking obvious, I'd have thought. You never seen Star Wars? Jesus.
Nick Thompson's there like, David, you gotta take the helmet off. Come on.
Nope, I don't. No, I don't. No, it's my human rights. I've put my religion down as Jedi. I'm allowed to wear this fucker. Although technically I'd need to put myself down as Dark Jedi for a Stormtrooper suit, wouldn't I, now I think about it. See, this is why I can't do it. I can't do dress up. But I like Christmas because I'm very materialistic and I like when people give me things.
God, I hate Christmas.
You would have liked what I bought. You know, every week I go, I need to stop buying shit. And then I say with the shit I've bought this week, it's not my fault. Stuff keeps popping up on the internet, right? And saying, oh, you might be interested in this. This week I bought a Lego figurine of Blackadder II. And it's fucking awesome. He's got the little ruff and the beard and the earring and the costume on. It's a little Lego man of Blackadder.
I saw somebody made like a custom, obviously custom fucking, you know, like DLC edition of the Klansman from Steel Game. Like,
yeah.
Hand painted. Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, you can get pretty much anything on this website, like pop culture. Stevie Clifford, a friend, he was saying his kids are asking for, he says his son, I think he's 6 or 7, he's nuts on Titanic stuff, right? They went to see the museum when they were on holiday. And
Stevie's kid, right? If somebody offers to take you in a sub to go look at the Titanic, don't do it.
Yes, don't. I think he's sensible enough.
Unless it's James Cameron. If it's James Cameron, go. If it's anybody else, go.
I think even at 6 years of age, he might have stepped onto that thing and went, hang on a minute, is that a fucking Logitech controller? I'm not coming on there. But Stevie said, so he's asked for the Titanic Lego set. He loves Lego as well. He's asked for Titanic box set. I said, oh, that's brilliant. Steve said, guess how much it is? I went, £100. And when he had finished laughing and wiping the tears from his eyes, tears for two reasons, he said, it's £600.
Jesus Christ.
I was like, for fucking Lego?
See, that's
even a,
I want to get the Saturn V one, which is like, it's like $140. But it's also, you know, like 3.5 feet tall. It comes apart in the different segments and whatever. And, you know, it looks very good. I still haven't done it. I will at some point. But, oh, God damn it. I left like a Lego Chicago, you know, it was like the Sears Tower and the Hancock Center and the Wrigley Building. And there was the bridge, you know, fucking Michigan Avenue. I left it at one of my old offices. And now I think I'm going to walk in the snow down there and see if they still
get it.
Like, hey, I don't miss you guys. But is my Lego still here?
But I was in the Lego store with my nephew, and there was a Lego Death Star, right?
Yes! That one was fucking awesome!
Well, I must admit, I thought it was awesome. So I said to the guy, I was like, what is that? And he told me, and it was outrageous. But
that thing was almost $1,000. That thing was insane.
Well, I said, does it come assembled? And he looked at me like I was nuts, and he went, no, of course not. I went, what do you mean, of course not? He said, well, that's the joy of putting it together. And I'm like, mate, for that much fucking money, I want it. Not only do I want you to put it together for me, I want you to hang it in my room. Right?
Well, I need to reach around out of this, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I want to go on your wife. I want, you know. It, so So there's no fucking danger because I have utter wank hands when it comes to anything creative. There's just no way I'd be able to do that. Put it. But you remember Homer when he was building the barbecue?
Why does a man look like that?
One of my favorite underrated Simpsons lines is, must use French instructions. Le grill? What the hell is that? Le grill? What the hell is that? So there's just, just a complete waste of money in my time. But yeah, I've got to trade all of his tools
for M&Ms again.
honestly, just wonderful comedic writing. They again slay. And I've finally found, if I'm ever going to get round to getting a tattoo of Homer, the one I've got, it's his face in the Mr. Thompson bit. It's the look of absolute blank, politely trying very hard to not give away that you don't have a fucking clue what the person is talking about, which is basically my life. You like this? Actually, just somebody sitting anxious and trying not to show it. So Sunday, the game, Adam couldn't do it. He was down to do it, and it was my fault. I should have noticed that he couldn't do it. And so Saturday night, I was like, shit. Say a few the others who are on the list that can do press, but a few of them were. I knew that, so I said to James, it wasn't his turn, but I said to James, do you want to come? And he said, thanks very much, yeah, I'll come do press with you. He'd only been once before, and it was the Aberdeen game, which you'll recall we lost.
Yeah.
So at half time, I said to him, if we don't win, you're not getting back. And he knows how stupidly superstitious about football I can get, right? So he was sitting genuinely, and I've got photographs of his face where he's just shitting himself right up. And then when the two goals go in, he was like, can I come back? I said, yeah, you can come back. He's like, thank fuck for that. So
shout out to my friend Hugh. Our boy, he's a Wednesday supporter. So, I mean, just have a thought.
Yeah,
have a quiet moment for our good friend Hugh. But you know, he lives up the road here in Rockton. He's from Sheffield, but he came down for the UT game against Texas A&M, which we won. You know, he came down. We had a few beers. We watched a game. Everything. You know, blah blah blah. I told him, I was like, well, you got to keep coming back. He's like, I was like, no, I'm not. This isn't a fucking joke, man.
You need to be here every goddamn Saturday now.
He didn't show up for the Alabama game. Guess what happened?
Get beat.
Lost Alabama. Didn't show up this weekend. We were playing Kentucky. Took us still like 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter to beat fucking Kentucky. Hugh, get off your ass. Look, Georgia is coming up soon, man. It is the game I care about. Beating Florida, good. Beating Alabama, good. We haven't done either this year. Not good. But beating Georgia is the one fucking thing I look forward to. And we haven't done it in quite a while. I would like to be the person to end that fucking winning streak. Nah, and Hugh, if you're not fucking here, it won't happen.
Hugh, mate, come on, you fuck. Right, come on.
Yeah.
Right.
Look, you're not watching Wednesday. You're not watching shit. Look, nobody's watching Wednesday. Nobody wants to watch that shit.
I know George Biles, who plays for Wednesday, right? And tell him, I'll get him something from George Biles if he turns up and you win.
There you go.
There you go. I can't say fair on that, right?
Yeah.
I literally would
order stuff from the Ranger shop and it shows up 6 months later. One of the last orders I made. It was when I got that jumper that has like the pouch pocket. You know, it's like the crew neck jumper with the, it's got the pocket
Shane,
like the hoodie.
Shane, don't try and describe it. There'll be 70 of those fuckers available, right? The Castore range has got about 4,500. There's more Castore gear about Rangers than there is Lego.
I had to get like another 20 pounds for free shipping, which is what shipping costs over here anyway. So you might as well get something else, you know? And they had that orange training one. The one from the 150th season. I threw it on, you know, and of course I wear like an XL in all the stuff that used to be sized right. You know, like the mid-2000s or the late 90s tops are all XLs and they fit. So I got like a double XL or a triple even. I don't know. I got the biggest one that I could get off the fucking store. Got here, still too fucking small. I mean, still went on like a fucking latex. I had to butter up to get this fucking thing on. So, you know, his kids, you know, like he's 15, whatever. He's playing football and, you know, doing good. Well, he played for Rockford FC here. Like one of the matches, not last season, but the season before, which was cool. You know, here's his kid playing for a semi-pro side here in town. Very nice. And I was like, just give this to him. Like, this is not going to fit. So there's a kid somewhere in Rockton, Illinois that has a, well, I'm sure all the logos have washed off of it by now, but he had an orange Rangers top. Now he's just got orange. Now he just looks like a guy that's holding a stop sign in front of some barrels on the motorway or something. God. Oh, fuck. Well, David, it's Halloween, and that means... Well, I didn't watch it. I'm sure you didn't either. Was there a new Treehouse of Horror this weekend?
There probably was.
Probably was. I haven't watched one since...
I haven't watched it, no. Yeah. But last night and tonight, I go through all of them, basically, up to about
season
23, when I can't. Right. After that, it's just too stupid. But I go, and yeah, we thought that we would do, because, you know, we enjoy The Simpsons, a lot of our listeners do. We thought we'd pick out some of our favourite segments over the years from Tree. Not whole episodes, just segments. There's three in every one. And,
for people who don't, I love this shit too, because it was what's his name? It was like Dave Merkin and Bill Oakley, and Conan was still there as the writer. Conan, and they're like, "Hey, have you ever read these old EC comics that like Tales from the Crypt is based off?" They're like, "Yeah, like what if we did that with The Simpsons?"
And they're great. What I love about them is every year they still have to do a warning.
Yeah.
In case you let your kids watch it and they get nightmares, because there's a lot of death in them.
Well, that's what it's like the seventh one or so, where they kill the Fox censor at the beginning.
Like in the... Yes. But he's sitting through the script and he's like, no. And then a sword appears and just stabs him in the back. So there's some great stuff. I'll kick us off with The Shining.
The Shining. God.
Now,
no, boy, do you want to be sued?
Yeah, as Bart says, you mean The Shining? No, do you want to be sued? Groundskeeper really points out where Homer and his family go to look after Mr. Burns' old house, only to discover that there's no TV and no beer.
No TV and no beer make Homer something something.
Go mad.
Don't mind if I do.
Don't mind if I do. My favourite bit in it, though, has to be when Mr. Burns is showing them round and he walks over to the elevator and he presses the button and the lift doors open and blood comes pouring out and he says, "That's odd. The blood normally gets off at the second floor." Now, I've seen this 1,000 times, and even knowing it was coming last night, I honestly had to take a moment out.
That's the same one. Yeah, that's the one where Willie dies in all three of them. He gets killed by an axe in all three of the fucking times.
And then the third one goes, "Oh, I'm
coming
really
up next is the Tony Awards."
Hosted by Time Daily. Is there anything more 80s than the Tony Awards hosted by Time Daily?
Oh yeah, because the second one that's the butterfly effect one, right?
Yeah,
where like Homer comes back and Ned's fucking running the world in like his Ned Flanders
1984 fucking... Yeah, and that's how Homer's trying to outrun these vicious attack dogs sent to catch him, and he pulls a bunch of sausages out of his chest and he goes, "I know, these wieners will give me the energy I need to escape," and eats them.
I love that he comes back in the one, like they're filthy rich, Patty and Selma are dead, but no one knows what donuts are. So he freaks, he gets back in there, "Huh, it's raining again."
And it's donuts. It's fucking great. And also, the other one I liked over the past issues was the King Kong one. And just because of two absolutely brilliant lines where, first of all, Mr. Burns says to Smithers, "What do you think of the latest addition to our ship's crew?" And he says, "Well, I believe that women and seamen don't mix." So, and the best line in it is Lenny Carroll and Charlie are working on the boat. And he says, "Where are we going?" "Ape Island." "Look, right, what's there?" "Apes." He goes, "Okay. I wish we were going to Candy Apple Island." What's there?" "Apes, but slightly smaller."
Oh, God. I mean, for me, it's, well, one, Omega Man is always.
I love that.
Ooh, a Gary Larson calendar. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. Kang and Kodos, I mean, that's their first. He's got a board with a nail in it.
Well, and now they're always in it. They become the 96 election.
Yes.
Where Kang and Kodos.
What are you going to do? Vote for throw your vote away.
When I was. And he's pretending, but he's being Bill Clinton, Bill Clinton. He's invaded his body. And Clinton's stump speech is just the most magnificent thing. "When I was a child, I dreamed of being a baseball. We must move forward, not
like
backwards."
Chat GPT.
Yes.
Upwards,
sideways,
not downwards.
Not upwards. And always twirling, twirling, twirling towards freedom.
Freedom.
Yeah, so
oh, God.
Do yourselves a favor tonight and watch some of the Treehouse of Horrors.
Wait, what's the religion? Quantum Presbyterianism?
And as David Marshall said, when he first watched that episode and they said, "We're quantum Presbyterians," he went, "Yes!" Kang and Kodos are one of us. And today, actually, as we know, is today in 1517, folks, Martin Luther sent his protest to the bishops. It would later become known as the 95 Theses. And inadvertently started the Reformation.
Hey! Which led directly to Rangers winning the title on March 7th in 2021.
And I mean, you can draw the straight line through history.
Hey, thank God they got Neil Lennon back on TV or PLZ or whatever the fuck it is he's doing now. You know, I really need to hear from him. Even though, Dermot, who's, the best official in Scottish football, and him and Hugh Dallas,
he's a Scottish
in the past 25, 30 years, actually knows the rules, knows the laws of the game. But no, let's hear from Neil Lennon telling us it's not a penalty after every qualified official in the country has fucking said, my God. It's the rage and the shit. You know, it's kind of like that SPFL media watch, that fucking raging terrier fuck that, you know, it tries to hide it, but it doesn't do a good job. Like during the Aberdeen game, he's like, "Oh, paradise for Aberdeen, and it's Dante's Inferno for PA." It's like somebody didn't read the other two books. You go through the Inferno, and then you come out the other side with a 3-2 win.
That's one of my favorite things about when stupid people who don't know they're stupid and try to be clever. So I remember during this happened, actually, just talking about Kings, during COVID, that people online were stating, Facebook obviously, right, they're saying, "I don't have to wear a mask because of Magna Carta." And it's Magna Carta says that we need to be at 1215, the basis of English law, and it says that we as we only are governed by laws we agree to and all that. And it's like, a couple of things here, mate. Firstly, Magna Carta didn't apply to everyone. It only applied to about 25 nobles at the time, right? There was still fucking serfdom, okay? So, no.
Hey, guess what? Secondly, if you're reading this, guess which one you qualify for.
Secondly, the king repudiated it the next month. So Magna Carta didn't even last beyond that. Yes, it's debate, and we all look back on it and say, isn't it great? But it has never been, apart from a three-week period, law in the UK.
But the fucking the crazy Supreme Court, you know, like Scalia would cite the Magna Carta all the time. It's, just, it's like, one, not our law. Two, wasn't law for more than fucking like 2 days.
the king agreed to it so they wouldn't kill him. And then quickly, once
the second they left the room, he was like, no.
Yeah, I'm not fucking doing that. So, yes, it's a lovely document, and a lot of it has gone on to be used as a basis for a lot of laws. Yes. But it wasn't
actually
law.
It's kind of like our Constitution. It was a lovely document and has been used as a basis for a lot of laws. Yeah. We don't actually use it anymore.
Yeah, and a bit like your Constitution, you shouldn't really be using something 250 years old to represent what's happening now, and that the world has changed a fair bit. But a little education is a dangerous thing. I don't have to do this. It's like, well, you do. You can choose not to. It's entirely up to you. But you can't use an 807-year-old law that didn't actually apply to you and didn't apply to anyone after a month.
Well, you know, if you want to hear me talk about why, you know, we shouldn't take cues from a document that was written when the biggest weapon in the world was a very large gun, like a cannon, right? Mm. I mean, when the Constitution was written, it was a cannon. Biggest thing, you know, I went on our buddy or their friends there, Colin and Jack's Wrong Term Memory, to talk about why this country is so fucked up. And it got so bad, they split it into two episodes. So,
wasn't that a bit of a busman's holiday for you, though?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we were talking about gun laws in the second one. I was like, look, you know, it's a matter. It's not a if, it's when the next horrible fucking mass shooting happens. And of course it was, you know, 2 days later, whatever the hell it was. It's like, it doesn't, you know, I think Jack had posted a tweet too. He's like, you know, it happens every other week in America. It was like twice a week, actually. Twice a week, there's a mass shooting. You just, you know, don't hear. Oh my, it is fucking like blizzarding now. God damn it. Let's do the questions before I get too pissed off and don't even want to do this anymore. Michael wants to know, Lammers, Dessers, Ray Charles, and Stevie Wonder are available for selection. Which two are you taking?
I think if you could go and hang out with Stevie Wonder, you would, surely.
I'd take Ray Charles because at least I know we're a man down.
Yeah.
Instead of somebody standing there pretending to be a footballer.
I've got a great Stevie Wonder story. It was in a book by a rock journalist talking about his career. And he said in the 80s, they were invited to a press conference at Claridge's, very, very posh hotel. They were invited to a press conference, as I say, at Claridge's for Stevie Wonder's new record. And he said, right, okay, that's excellent. Very much looking forward to that. And they went along, and there was Stevie Wonder, and he was taking questions. And then he stopped the press conference after about 20 minutes, and he said, look, it's not done, gentlemen. I just need to take a little break for some refreshment. And they said, sure, no bother, Stevie. He said, and he went into the next room. And it then became very apparent to everyone in our room that the refreshment he mentioned was of the shagging kind. Twice.
Oh, God.
Now, the guy says, how can we give him a bad review after that? There's no fucking chance. Well,
Are you a Stevie Wonder cited truther? I love that video. Like, he catches the mic stand. See, he can see.
He can catch it. Yeah, chuck an orange at him and see if he catches it. No, there's a great, you know, the Motown Review, and what a fucking show that must have been, right? Well, they used to do a sing-off at the end of the night, right, between Marvin Gaye and little Stevie Wonder, as he was at the time. And eventually Marvin Gaye went to, and the audience would choose, you know, they would roar who won. And eventually went to Berry Gordon, the Motown head, and he said, you need to stop doing that to me. He's like, why? He says, it's a fucking 12-year-old blind kid. I can never win. He said, I'm fucking Marvin Gaye and I'm not winning any night at all. He said, of course they're going to vote for a fucking 12-year-old blind kid.
Oh, let's see. So I think it's our old buddy John and the Rangers, the other Rangers, not Jack Irvin's Texas Rangers, who are up 2-1 in the World Series, but the New York Rangers. Well, so I forgot we used to do this. You know, when you take a year off, like I said, you know, you got to get back up to speed. You got to fucking whatever. What has Florida Man been up to recently? I forgot we did this every goddamn week.
Let me see. Well, put it
in there's a show coming out called Florida Man, which I'm sure will be terrible because anytime you do a show based off a premise like that, it never works out. So, but anyway, I just Googled Florida Man because I was like, what has Florida Man been up to? And of course, the first headline is police arrest 22-year-old man after mass shooting in Florida over Halloween weekend. So we're going to skip that one and go to Florida Man takes an Uber to kill someone, pays the Uber driver $100 to wait for him.
Jesus.
I mean, it's fucking awesome. Claudio Valdivieso, I don't know, Samoya, fucking whatever, was sentenced to life in prison in Florida after he was convicted of killing a man in a hotel parking lot in 2021. During a second trial following a mistrial, found guilty of first-degree murder. He shot the guy in the head in a Holiday Inn parking lot in West Palm. But God damn it, this is the most Florida Man thing ever. Shot him in the head in a Holiday Inn in West Palm Beach. Thanks to testimony from witnesses and his Uber driver, Enzo Ramirez, it was confirmed that the gunman paid Ramirez to drop him off at the hotel and gave him $100 to wait across the street at a gas station. You are paying a witness for you to commit murder.
I just put in Florida Man and 31 October, right? And what popped up was Florida Man takes epic mugshot after driving naked near school with wires attached to penis. Because, of course. So that's what Florida Man has been up to. He's been murdering and driving near a school with wires attached to his penis.
Oh, God damn it. Oh, thanks for that one, John. Oh, let's see. But C. Fletch, 972, wants to say, if the movie Cocaine Bear was based off Carlos Pena's exploits as a Rangers player, what movie would sum up Lammers and Desers?
Oh. That's a good one. Let me see.
I want to say the good, the bad, and the ugly, but it's just the latter
much
two.
Of the good, yeah. Brewster's Millions, where a man has to get rid of as much money as he can as quickly as he can. So for me, Beale's Millions, yeah. Watches a man blows £8 million. That we don't have really fucking quickly.
It's like between them and Ridvin, that's what, £13 million outlay between those three?
Yeah.
Did you know, by the way, if you look up our very small left back friend, he's listed as 5'9". Now, I think you're shorter than me.
No, I'm 5'11", but he's 5'7". He's about the same height as my dad. He's 5'7".
I mean, like, he's 5'9" in boots with, like, the really tall the ones that you wear when it's been raining for, like, 8 days.
No, he's definitely not 5'9". He's 5'7".
And he can't jump on top of that. You're short. He can't
He's normally not too bad. I think he just got done at the weekend by good striking play, and Danilo did exactly the same to the Hearts boy later. What Shanklin does is he takes him inside and then
you do the drift back.
In and you do it all in a split set. But watch both the goals back, listeners, and you'll see what I mean.
They're the exact same goal.
The difference between a goal scorer and a forward, a goal scorer naturally does this where he steps inside, the defender has to go with him, but it carries the defender under the ball, and then he steps back, waits for it and heads at home.
The Michael Jordan fadeaway shot. It's the same fucking thing, you know.
Or the Mall's turn. You know it's coming. Cutting in.
What are you gonna do?
It's coming. Jude Bellingham. You know he's gonna do it. Yeah. But fucking stop him. That's that's the trick. But if he's definitely adding a bit of height.
I remember, so, yeah. You know, when I used to have knees that worked as opposed to now. But yeah, I was playing like, you know, fives one day. It was at ice hockey arena, but they had a, you know, another rink that they just turned into a, you know, like a pitch.
Yeah.
And there was this one friend of mine. We always give each other shit, you know, constantly just ribbing you fucking. But I was like, I'm going to fucking turn you. Like, I'm just gonna, like, I'm doing a cross turn. I'm going to fucking do it to you. He's like, fuck you. No, you're not. Like, I guarantee I am. Guarantee. So sure as shit, I did it. And like, I've never executed a more deft touch of a football in my life than I did on this. And it was so fucking dumb too, because I was up against the boards, which means I can't pass the ball anywhere. There's nowhere for the ball to go, right?
Which is the draw,
and
right?
I still did it to him, still turned him, go back. And the next time up the park, I went to just like chip him and go over. He kicked the ever loving shit out of me so fucking bad. Like, I had imprints from his laces in my shin. It was fucking, I'm trying to get up. He's like, wasn't even a foul. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And so we get done with the match. I go over, you know, like peel my socks off because they're fucking buried into my leg. He's like, all right, first round's on me. I was like, thank you. God damn it. Like, I can't walk off right now. This is awful.
No,
Grandma's no. Have Rangers. Rangers ever had a penalty award that Celtic fans think was deserved?
No, Rangers have never had a penalty that was awarded fairly in the history of football.
No, he's only holding on to Connor Goldson for what, like 6 yards all the way across the. No, never a penalty. Yeah. Never a penalty.
It's about like the one you always hear this thing, right? It's soft. Right, penalties are either penalties or they're not.
It's either a foul or it's not.
Yeah, you can't.
Well, I always hate the thing like if that happens, you know, at the midway part, they're going to give that as a foul. That's a foul.
There shouldn't be a higher burden of proof in the box. For me, and it's a pet hate of mine. I hate when our defenders do it as well. Don't fucking do it. Don't pull people. Right? Yeah. Just be better at your job. I remember years ago, a pundit. I think it was Stuart Robson who does the. Ex-Arsenal player who does
football.
He said, he said we talk about how you don't have centre-halves these days that are as good at defending as they used to be, and he said it's because of this. He said one of the main reasons, he said defenders in the old days had to go and head the fucking ball away.
Yeah.
Now they think, oh, I'm standing in front of the guy or I'm pulling his shirt to stop him getting a clear run. And his view was, he said, if refs gave fouls for it all the time, it would stop.
It would stop immediately. Yes.
It would stop immediately. You would just, you wouldn't do it. And therefore, well, remember
it was like
better.
3 or 4 years ago, FIFA made like a point of emphasis to refs. And like every league at the start of the season was given, there were tons of penalties. Mm. And then people were bitching because there were all these penalties. And instead of continuing it until defenders fixed the thing, they just told the refs to stop emphasizing it. And here we are with this kind of shit.
If you have grabbed someone's shirt and it's visible, so like, you know, he's a yard away from you and you're holding his shirt,
it looks like his shirt's hanging off a fucking clothesline outside.
Correct.
Like,
and you mentioned there on the halfway line, would it be a foul? It would not only be a foul, it'd be a booking because there's no intent at all to play the ball.
No.
So I have no sympathy whatsoever. And by the way, I'm not a hypocrite. When our players do it, my reaction isn't, oh, that's soft. My reaction is, you fucking idiot. Why did you do that?
Well, it's all right. Connor Goldson's there to bitch at somebody else, even when he does it himself. Connor Goldson has been a very good, upstanding player, done a lot of nice things for us, but he has never, in his mind, done anything wrong on the pitch. It is always someone else's fault, no matter what.
There's always somebody like that at your work.
God! I mean, look, you know, you go back to the fucking... I don't even want to think about it. But the goal in the final, which, one, Scott Wright scythed him down. Right. Two, why do you let the ball roll across you to your fucking... Oh!
That way madness lies.
Oh! David Scott wants to know, why are we so bad at set pieces? Corners are powder puff and barely beat the first man. And is it not time for Tab to start sharing the responsibility because other people can surely hit a dead ball?
Right, here's the thing, right? We're not bad at set pieces. And I know that's going to come as a shock.
We're bad defending set pieces.
We're not great at it. No, but basically what it is set pieces have got this thing in people's heads that they're really, really good. And yeah, you do score from the worldwide conversion goals.
It's about 1 in 10. It's always 1 in 10.
Less. It's 3%.
Okay.
3 out of every 100 corners leads to a goal.
Yeah.
Right? 80% of corners lead to the ball being returned to the opposition. Yes. 80. Right? Now, that's not just us. That's Manchester City. That's, you know, and there may be some variance, but we're talking 4 or 5% for the really good teams, right? So there's a great half man, half biscuit line where the guy says, I linger in gawp when the council dig a big hole. I cheer for a corner. I don't know why. They never lead to a goal. That's it. We have in our mind that, oh, we've got a corner, and we all cheer it. We go, yeah, a corner.
Well, the other problem is, too, you know, we don't concede goals from open play. Every goal we concede is from a fucking set piece. I mean, that's just, that's it. So, of course, we remember all those because that's everything we ever give up, especially in the fucking league, because that's all those teams play for.
The last couple of years we have, you know, and a big part of that, unfortunately, was McGregor and his reluctance to come for a ball and the confusion that spread.
Yeah, and now we have a goalie that can move.
Now we have a goalie who comes out and takes the ball. A lot of what we saw is bad defending, and it was, but it was defending that we shouldn't have to be doing in the first place. Jack just removes all that, so there is far less excuse, by the way. But in terms of, he's right, we need to do better at corners. Yes, we should mix up our corner takers, in my opinion. However,
not Ben Davies.
corners are shit, right? This is the problem. People think corners are great and they're not. Right? You remember when Warburton used to get so much shit for short corners?
Yeah.
And that was why he said, well, 80% of the time, if you put the ball straight in the middle, you give the ball back.
You give up possession.
You don't score and you give up possession. So he was just trying to work something different. But we have in our heads that corners are fucking brilliant. Now, penalties, you should never, ever, ever miss a penalty. And I know that might sound controversial, but you shouldn't. You have a free shot from 12 yards out as a professional footballer. You should always score a penalty.
Well, look, Cyril Dessers can miss from 6 yards out with a free shot. So. It was like the goal, the one that Cantwell set up for him last week. Because he almost didn't get that out from under his feet, which is what fucked the defender, because the defender's like, oh shit, he's not going to do this. And then he finally did, and he was out of position. Same, but this, oh my God, how do you call yourself a at any position, but you try to bill yourself as a forward, and a ball falls to your feet in that position, and you can't get it out? Jesus Christ.
Footballers are like the rest of us, mate. When you think there's no fucking chance I'm scoring today, then there is no fucking chance you're scoring that day.
Well, I mean, that's been his... Well, and what, Lammers, he came and hit... Oh, Jesus God. Fuck that. I don't want to talk about this. Ian Milne asks... You know, this is a good one, David. Me and Todd did a whole episode on this. If you go back and find the Desert Islands about last meals, or I think we called it death row meals. But right. Ian wants to know, if this is your last day on Earth and you have anything to eat, your last meal, what are you taking, David?
It would need to be something that I could eat through the tears, because you know that again, sorry to keep going on about Simpsons, but it's a great bit where Homer's trying to change his life. And he gets an advice book, you know, one of these life coach books, and at page one it says, live today like it was your last, and it cuts to him sitting crying going, I don't want to die. So that would be me. That's a really interesting one. Is there any food that has heroin in it?
I mean, if you add it. It'd be like, when you go to the Olive Garden over here and they're like, more cheese, did I tell you to stop? Yes, add more heroin to my fucking meal.
Billy Connolly said that. He said, when they do that, when I know I'm dying the next day, I'd be like, get me some heroin and then bring in a sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
I think there was a lot of that Thursday night in Aberdeen.
There was a lot of that going on. In terms of just food or whatever, you probably want something incredibly high fat, incredibly.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't remember what I picked because I was like, oh yeah, I would have this, but I'm like, wait, I did a whole show talking specifically about this. Mm. I can't remember what it was I said, and I'm not going to go back and listen to it.
I would probably have a steak, a proper steak, a bottle of whiskey. Because at that point, fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it. You might as well give up the.
And as I say, a large amount of probably hallucinogenic drugs. You know, make it all a wee bit.
I would definitely mix some LSD and cocaine.
I would think just a wee bit of energy for the Charlie, and keep you awake. You always sleep through your last 10 hours, do you? I'd probably go that route, but probably one of these. In fact, fuck it. I would order. There's a restaurant that's just opened in London that serves the world's most expensive steak, and it's that Japanese.
Oh, that fucker. Yeah.
Wagyu. No, it's not him. It's like the original guys from Japan that do the cow that basically lives like
Wagyu beef or whatever.
Yeah, the cows that live like fucking Taylor Swift.
Yeah, they live better than us.
They fly the beef in a fucking private airplane and stuff, right? And it's £760 for a
actually
steak.
They kill the cow with heroin. That's why it costs so much.
Yeah, what I think is absolutely wonderful about it, Shane, is it's £760 for the steak, right? And you have to pay for sides because, of course, you fucking do. No free refills at that fucking restaurant. I'll tell you that for nothing.
Onion headlines. You know, in honor of Martin Luther and everything he's given us, God throws celibate monk pity wet dream. God.
There's a couple of good ones. CEOs announce plans to be total fucking freaks when you run into them in the bathroom. And I think we can all understand where this one's coming from. Happy person must either be stupid or evil.
Oh, man. Now we have a new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who, by the way, is one of those Christians that thinks Jesus needs to come back in Jerusalem, so a war has to start there. So entirely cheerleading. But Congressman interrupts general's testimony just to reiterate he loves war.
I thought you might like this one. Kamala Harris wears sad little bat headband alone at desk for Halloween.
Oh God.
This one is me and you. Squirming husband placed in Halloween costume against his will.
I want to give a shout out. Me and you, as we talked in our little group chat thing that we have, are not TikTokers. I don't get it. No. I've never gotten it. I don't get it.
I don't get it.
That's me on TikTok. I don't get it. However, whoever the fuck is using the Rangers one, put in the fucking base. Nobody cared who I was till I put on the mask. It's fucking, fucking brilliant. Thank you for that. I don't know who's responding. I don't know if that's Nick or Rab or whoever the fuck's in there doing socials. Yeah. I blame Rab for everything.
Actually, no,
so.
I don't.
Oh no, it's what's her name, isn't it?
No, that'll be wee Andy.
Is it okay?
Yeah. It'll be one of them.
Who cares? Well done, guys. Well done. Yes. you made me look at TikTok this morning. So.
Have you ever seen that that Bane parody that they do on robots?
Oh my God. Which one of these do you breathe through?
Here's Bane. Just constantly breaking his back.
Doing the B is for Bat. A is for Alfred.
There's also the one I'll do it going like it's some American comedy group, right? And it is genuinely quite funny where it's that bit at the end when Raj Al Ghul's daughter.
That's what I was talking about.
She's like, I trapped you, and he's lying there, and she's just stabbed him. And he's like, yeah, but you suck my dick. She goes, that's not important right now. And he's like, But you did, though.
I wear rubber underwear. Really seals the flavor
in. It's like, just that. And he turns right to Bane and says, just think, your girl here, she sucked my dick.
It's my lover. It's
like, I used all three holes in an order that would surprise you.
Oh, that's the rating.
That's the same group they did the thing with Patton Oswalt playing the Joker or the Penguin. God. Yeah, go look up Batman. Not Batman. Not with a Batman. T. Go look up Batman. Fucking brilliant shit. It'll fill out the rest of your evening, whatever the hell you're doing. So, David, that's it. Happy Halloween. Stay in. Don't do anything because Halloween sucks.
Don't you worry.
Terrible. And again, it is still snowing. Very, very hot. Oh, fuck this. I think I have some vodka in the freezer. I'm just, fuck it. The day's over. Might as well. Hell
absolutely
with it. David, of course, you can find everything Heart and Hand. You know how to do that. Go find him on Twitter at IbroxRocks or David A. Edgar 23 if you want to talk to him about other shit, which I think here's our plan for the next series. We kind of teased this. Following on from the Watergate thing, we're going to do a post-war series, like the era from the end of the Second World War up until, and it's coming up this month, John Kennedy's assassination. So that 18-year period. I think, David, if it makes sense for you, we will wait until we're done with the Europa League shit so we've got an extra day available during the week to do that kind of stuff.
That's a good plan.
So that gives us time to get the shows in order and everything, but we will be doing that soon. But anyway, David, good to talk. As always, love you, brother.
Same, mate, and thoroughly enjoyable. And Todd, you better fucking listen to this. There will be
Jesus
a test.
Jesus Christ. Oh, by the way, Todd's gone for 2 more weeks. It's not just this week and next week, because when he gets back, he's got to go do comedy in Toronto or some bullshit. Made up nonsense.
Seriously, wait, cunt spent,
you're talking to a microphone. What are we doing right now? It's the same fucking thing, joke boy. Fuck off.
cunt spends more time in Italy than fucking Michael had to do after he shot that police captain.
Unbelievable. God.
Maybe he shot a police captain, Shane. Maybe that's it. Go and look up and see if a police captain has been shot recently in Canada.
Definitely here. Oh, there was one good... Fuck it. There was a cop, you know, because like cops in this country like to pretend like you can just die of fentanyl being in the same room as you.
Yeah.
There was a cop in some place, I think it was in California, who did die of fentanyl being in the same room because he took it out of the evidence locker and was snorting it and it killed him. So,
don't do that.
Shit, buddy. That's a bitch.
No. Has he not seen Pulp Fiction?
Apparently not.
Cocaine? Sniff.
Cocaine, fine.
Heroin substitute.
No, if it comes in a balloon, put it Dune. All right?
No.
All right, me and David will be back next week. Sans Todd, I'll be here tomorrow with Danny. We're going to do more shit about the football and Don't Ask Me No Questions. And I'll probably do a secondhand news at some point here on Friday. But that's it. We'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy.
You kind of get fucking serious at all.
I like it. We're going to go shorter. No, we're not. I didn't fucking mind.
That was stupid, yes.